I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Badatum. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah. This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Welcome back. If you're looking for more sports betting discussion around your local teams, Bet Rivers has you covered. They've launched a series of CityCasts designed to tackle sports betting from the local perspective. CityCasts in Chicago, Denver, Detroit, L.A., New York, Philly, Pittsburgh, and now Washington, D.C. Subscribe to your local CityCast wherever you get your podcast.
All right, we'll talk some NBA here. Last night, it was a loaded card. The Celtics lost in overtime to the Raptors. Huge news with that team. Well, first of all, they sat three guys overall, but then Robert Williams also missed the game because now he has the meniscus and he's going to be out for the rest of the year. And Keith Smith covers the team, joins us here on Follow the Money. Now, Keith, thanks for the time today. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, as a guy who covers this team and watches them every single night, can you just talk about the impact here of Robert Williams, what he meant to the team defensively, and how much they're going to miss him going forward into the playoffs?
Yeah, it's a huge loss. One thing is they are not ruling him out for the year just yet.
Okay.
He's going to have surgery, and there are a couple surgical options that could allow him to come back. But I think for practical purposes, they're going to basically take that as, hey, that's found money if it happens. Well, you know, then that's a happy occurrence. But as far as how they're going to miss him, they've built a lot of their defense around his abilities. And what they've done is they've moved Al Horford to defending whoever the other team's nominal center is, whoever that player was. And then Robert Williams would get kind of hid on the worst shooter of the bunch. But it's not hiding like when you hide a bad defender. This allowed him to play this roamer helper role where he would come over and, you know, be an incredible weak side help guy and do a lot of things in that respect. And then that allowed them to do a lot of the switching that they do with Tatum, Brown, and Smart, and then the reserves. So it's going to be a pretty big loss. And then on the offensive end, he's one of the better vertical threats in the league. He's such a good player on the rim running, but they run offensive set through him because he's a really good passer as well. So it's a pretty major loss for the Celtics.
Can they still? I mean, some people have said they won't make it out of the second round. How much can Tice help them? And are they still going to be a force come playoff time?
Yeah, I think Daniel Tice is going to be fine. He is more comfortable in Boston than he's been anywhere else in the NBA. and they know how to use him. They're going to ask for more out of him and Grant Williams while they're without Robert Williams. I would expect Grant Williams to continue to start. That's been the way they've done things. They could also go small as well. They haven't leaned on small lineups all that often this year, but Jason Tatum is big enough. We saw the other night against Minnesota when a bunch of guys were in foul trouble and Al Horford sat that game out. They turned to Tatum to cover Karl Anthony Towns, and he did quite well against them. So I think there's a lot of different triggers they can pull. As far as how far they're going to go in the playoffs, I think for any Eastern Conference team, tell me who's healthy and tell me who they're playing, and then I'll tell you how far they're going to go.
Because sure.
At this point, I think matchups and health are going to, as they always do, but I think even to an even more extreme level, they're going to really determine things in the Eastern Conference playoffs this year.
That's a good point as well. It's a question not just about the Celtics, but the top four teams in the East. Who's going after and who's chasing the one seed?
Yeah, and we don't know. Today, they're sometimes dependent on what the matchup has been. It kind of looks like none of them really want it. And I think that's between the one and the two seed, there's less desire this year, I think, to get that than there normally is. Normally, you're pushing for that because you want home court advantage all the way through, and you want to be in a spot where you're playing weaker teams. But this year, there's the looming specter of the Brooklyn Nets. We know they're going to have to come through the play-in tournament almost, assuredly at this point, which means they're going to be either likely the 7 or 8 seed, kind of depending on how things go for them there. So I think that's why teams are not, maybe going to push overly hard. I think you're going to see a lot of focus on what they're going to term it as is we're more focused on being healthy and rested for the playoffs, when really it's probably a little bit of seeding shenanigans going on.
Sure, sure. Did who expected this? Did even people in the Boston organization? This is historic what they're doing, to be 18-21 and then 500 at the break, and only two teams in history have then finished with a winning percentage over 600. And I'm sure Smart has a lot to do with that as well. But this, I just can't. They were also, people in Boston said it was boring to watch. They weren't on the same page. A game, it was tough to watch, 18-21. And then everything flips and they're killing people before last night on a 24-4 run straight up.
Yeah, as far as people expecting it, I don't think anybody really expected it. Now, you had the standard, we clean this up, we clean that up. And they weren't, as bad as the record was, they weren't as that bad of a team. They had a lot of close losses. They had a lot of games where they lost games, where they had big leads and, just kind of crumbled down the stretch. And they said, we're working on it, but first we got to get our defense right. Well, they've certainly done that. They've got the defense, right. And they're just really kind of making things difficult. Even last night against the Toronto Raptors in a game where four starters were out, they still made life difficult on Toronto for most of that game to score the ball. So it's one of those things where once they got that right, then Ime Udoka and his staff said, all right, now we'll turn to the offense. And now the offense has got clicking. The trade they made for Derek White has been very big because he fits right in with them defensively and as a ball mover on the offensive end. So everything's just kind of clicking and has really come together. And then there's also the health component. This is the first time in a few years that they've had their, up until this Robert Williams injury, that they've had their main guys together for a long stretch of time.
Let's follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Keith Smith, our guest, CelticsBlog.com. Follow him on Twitter at KeithSmithNBA. And a gambling question here for you, Keith. I'm looking right now at several books across the country, and Marcus Smart. Now, this is flipped. Keep this in mind. This is flipped now a couple of times going back the last week or two. But Marcus Smart is your new favorite to win Defensive Player of the Year. Can you envision when they announce that award, whatever night that's going to be, that Marcus Smart is going to be the winner, or do you think it's going to go to somebody else?
I still think it'll probably go to Rudy Gobert, just because I think, unfortunately, sometimes voters, what they'll do is they'll look, and I mean, we've seen some of them on the record say, well, I look at who had the most blocks and steals and rebounds, and then that's the guy I pick. And that is as old school thinking as you can get with this, especially considering all the data that we have, free and publicly available now. But I do think we're starting to see the narrative build for Marcus Smart as far as, hey, if this is the most dominant defensive team in the league, which they have been, since the calendar flipped, it's not even close, is, we got to reward that somehow. And I think people are starting to also have a little, you're hearing more buzz around you know, this doesn't have to just be a big man award every single year. It doesn't have to go to a center or a power forward that kind of, you know, anchor the back line. There are a lot of good perimeter defenders. So if that narrative continues to build, he continues to play well over these last couple weeks, I do think he has a chance, but I don't know that he will win it.
All right. How excited are you this year specifically, like scale 1 to 10 for the Eastern Conference playoffs? It's the best that I can remember.
Like 15, 20. Yeah. You know, it's normally the East playoffs are, you know, let me know when we get into the second round. You know, and then you know, by then we'll have a couple of these teams that were floating around 500 will be out and losing records. And this year it's not that way. I mean, we've finally seen the East has flipped it. We've seen a pretty good migration of talent from the Western Conference to the Eastern Conference over the last several years. And that's finally starting to come home. We've seen the East teams, I think, get better management structures in place. So they've drafted and developed talent better. They've handled free agency better than they had in prior years. So yeah, I think what we're finally kind of looking at here is this Eastern Conference playoffs is going to be phenomenal, especially again, when you consider Brooklyn's going to be floating in there as the seventh or eighth seed, most likely. Like that's not your normal seventh or eighth seed. So we're going to have a lot of fun watching the East this year.
What do you expect tonight? Sixers at home against the Bucks, and where are you at with Philadelphia, where Harden doesn't appear to be the same player? And I guess it's nice that Tobias Harris is your fourth option. But if you trust the Sixers and Harden in a big game moving forward, come playoff time.
Yeah, that's the difficult part, is because you've got between him and Joel Embiid, who are two phenomenal players, their playoff track record is not great, especially as you get deeper into the playoffs. As I said to someone the other day, is, you know, let me know when they, you know, look good in the third round, and they haven't, you know, historically in their career. Now together, maybe that's what they need to be able to pull that off. But James Harden definitely, whether it's the injury or just age is catching up with him, a lot of miles, you know, it's not just the games, it's the heavy usage within those games, from all the way back to, you know, it was right at the beginning of his Houston tenure all the way through to now. He doesn't have that same burst and acceleration to get past people, and that's difficult. So they're having more offensive problems than I think they knew they'd have, and I think they knew the defense was going to take a little bit of a hit, was going to slip some. But I think the offense not churning and chugging along the way they hoped it was a little bit of a problem. Tonight against the Bucks, we'll see, because sometimes Milwaukee shows up at these games and it's almost like they're like, yeah, we're the champs, we'll see you tomorrow. So that's a hard thing, right? Yeah. You never kind of know with the Bucks, and they're very, Mike Budenholzer is very quick to say, yeah, we don't have it tonight, and then he just kind of pulls the plug and lets things move along. So they're a difficult team to get the read on. Once we get into the playoffs, I trust Milwaukee more than any team in the East, just because they have the pedigree and the talent.
Yeah, that's really well said. Kind of like putting the Bucks season, wrapping a bow around it so far in the regular season. You can read Keith, CelticsBlog.com. Follow him on Twitter, at KeithSmithNBA. Thanks so much for the time today, Keith. We appreciate it.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Yep, that's exactly right. He really pinpointed that with the Bucks.
Yep. Last nine games, Harden, 21 points per game, 30% from three. Not good. Oh, boy.
So what's going to happen when they don't win a title, MB does not win an MVP, and it's not going to work out with James Harden? They're going to have to move on from him?
I hope Morey doesn't give him the big max, give him the extension. Oh, boy.
I don't have a lot of faith.
I didn't envision this.
I don't have a lot of faith in this team.
No, you can't.
No.
Oh, no way.
No.
The other thing, what happens when Embiid sits? That killed him against Toronto.
Oh, no question. Yep. We'll recap last night's betting action with Win Some, Lose Some coming up next.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Win Some, Lose Some is presented by Bet Rivers, your hometown sportsbook. Check out their daily specials at BetRivers.com.
Were you a winner last night?
Wow, winning.
Or was it a rough one?
Well, they can't all be winners, can they?
Loser! You're a loser!
Molly Howard recaps the night in sports betting in Win Some, Lose Some.
NBA favorites last night, 7-2 straight up. Overs in the NHL, 4-1. Goal in the first 10, 5-0. Seattle roughed up L.A. 6-1. They were plus 175. No sweat there. Horrible call by me. Bad read. Sabres plus 145. They beat Chicago. Atlanta and over. Hawks 6.5 up to 8.5 and 234 up to 237. Woo! I think they had 60-some points with 7 minutes left in the second quarter.
I think they scored, was it 44 in the first quarter, the most since like the 80s, yeah. I believe, in the first quarter for the Hawks.
132-123. Knicks-Bulls under. 223 down to 218. 109-104 New York. Grizzlies-Warriors under. 225 down to 221. Fell 218. Although it was 20-16 at the end of one. Subscribe, be part of the team. VSiN.com for our radio and podcast friends. You always want to see the videos. And this is just like the scene with Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible. Falling out of the airplane here. Skydiving. And two guys collide, and one of them gets knocked unconscious. And the buddy realizes what's going on, comes all the way over, saves his bacon, and grabs him, and then pulls the chute off, open, so everything can work out here. And you just see when he look at this, he comes in. I got you, buddy. And he's out cold. Incredible video.
So did you watch the whole thing? Like, how long does it have video of him going all the way down to the ground?
No, I didn't see that. No, it cuts off.
Oh, his eyeballs are rolled back in his head.
Sure,
totally out.
He pulls the chute, and then I think it ends like 20 seconds later.
Oh, man.
That is something. What a job. Right out of the movie, though.
Come on, live a little once. Go skydiving.
I will never do that.
Why?
No way. Absolutely not.
You'll never have that feeling anywhere else, no matter what you do in life.
Well, too bad.
Okay.
I'm okay.
All right.
I'm okay with that.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
That's great.
I'm afraid of heights. We're no part of it. I went on the damn thing here. I couldn't take it.
Wait till you're free falling, though.
Wait till
you don't. You've
song.
Never.
Great song. Underrated. Tom Petty.
Is it underrated?
Tom Petty's
amazing.
Underrated.
Okay. I forgot what I was going to say. I'll think about it. Go ahead.
Top of stratosphere. I'm afraid of heights. I'm afraid of all that stuff where they hang you upside down or whatever. No way. Look at the leopard cub here. Look at this sneaking up. Tippy toe. A little tippy toe. Hides by the rock. Comes out. Now he's hiding in the grass. Can't see him. Okay. And she comes over. Hit the wall.
Serious. Look at that leap.
Time. Yeah, serious hang time. Caught by surprise. When's the last time you went to the secret garden? Siegfried and Roy. They got leopards and cheetahs and jaguars and white tigers.
Are they still there?
Siberian tigers. Yeah, it was there during the summer of fall. Yeah. I popped in. It's great.
I couldn't even tell you.
Like $20 going. It's quick, but it was good. Lose some. Spurs Rockets under 238 down to 234. 123-120 San Antonio. Cavs Magic over 215 up to 217.5. 107-101. Heat Kings under 220 down to 216. 123 to 100. A win some and lose some. So now Twitter keeps receipts, man, and the internet keeps receipts. We'll get to that in a second. This is some follow the money army. The guy, his favorite game and machine wasn't available, so he looked over and said, "All right, Ultimate X." Paulie always talks about it. I'll give it a shot. He's playing Dollar Ultimate X. He gets a look at that. The top two are 10 times, and he gets dealt three aces. That's a rush. Take your.
You don't even talk to me about a rush.
That's a rush.
That's a great feeling.
He doesn't get that. He gets one of them on the bottom, though, with the kicker, but it's $4,000. But imagine if he would have got it for 10 times.
Wait, so 10 times,
nice win.
10 times is 40,000 then?
If he would have got the ace, no, 20,000.
Oh, 20,000. Okay.
Because he got two times on the bottom. 40,000 if he's playing triple double, he's playing double double.
Oh, copy that. Okay.
Roger.
That's very good feeling.
Yeah, great feeling.
Not quite as good as skydiving.
Twitter keeps receipts. The internet always keeps receipts. Apparently, Will Smith years ago on a late night talk show made an alopecia joke.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Look for that. But also, hello, Boston. Hello, Nesson. Chris Rock starts his world tour
in Boston.
How hot is that? Sold out tomorrow.
So from what I understand, and I saw, like, again, people tweeting about this yesterday morning, tickets were like 60% sold out, 65% sold out. Well, that changed in an instant.
Of course.
And tickets are now like unavailable. And I think they went to the moon with how much. And I tweeted out, it's the biggest no-brainer of all time if I live there.
You have to go.
No question.
He's also kept a low profile and said nothing since the incident, just saying, I didn't know she had alopecia. And
all those reports, right? It was an ad-lib joke.
Ad-lib.
Again, nobody knew about it. Maybe some people did, but the people that were outraged, you didn't know either until you Googled Jada Pinkett Smith bald. You had no idea what it was, and you got all up in arms and outraged for no reason. Chris Rock didn't know. It was an ad-lib joke. So calm down, as always.
And then I like David Spade's tweet, too, that they just put up as well, and they're friends, but he's right. People saying, how can you make a G.I. Jane joke? Well, and Spade said, because comedians don't have a medical chart for everyone in the audience.
Good for him.
You know, there's another observation I have. You know, she's not sitting next to him. There's a little distance there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's tightly in, packed in, you know, usually. You know what's going
right.
on?
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of room there between those two.
Yeah, plenty of room.
Yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, if you could bet on this right now, will Chris Rock spend most of his time talking about that in Boston this week? Because he actually said, and I kind of take his word for it, when Will Smith screamed at him, keep my wife's name out of your bleeping mouth, he goes, okay, man, I get it. I'm not going to say her name ever again. I don't know if he ever will bring her name up again. Because Chris Rock, he was the total pro. Will Smith was I can't even believe what he did still to this minute. But Will Smith and Chris Rock, how he operated, when he under his breath, he goes, oh, I could do it right now. He didn't. He kept the show moving along, and he was the professional there on stage. I don't know if he brings up Jada's name.
Tomorrow, but moving forward?
Yes.
I think he will. But he also, you're right, who knows what he had ready to go and leash another one-two punch.
That's what, if you're going to the show in Boston, that's what I hope he does. I hope he goes scorched earth on Will Smith the whole time.
Little separation there.
Okay.
He's closer to the other girl than his wife.
Yeah, he's laughing at the joke.
Well, that's right. I buried the lead. He thought the thing was funny. That's right after the joke. Bad beat. Raptors Celtics under because of everyone sitting with Boston. 220 down to 209. Toronto bet up from 4 to 8. And it goes over because of overtime. 115 to 112. Toronto wins. They don't cover, and a hell of an effort by the Boston Celtics, considering all those guys were out as well. Should have won a game. Win some, lose some, presented by Bet Rivers, your hometown book. Log in, get a 20% live profit boost on the NBA every Tuesday. Learn more BetRivers.com.
Okay, so we're getting really good feedback today. Email FTM at VSiN.com, Twitter at VSiN Live, at Mitch Moss Radio at Paulie Howard. Because of that debacle by Will Smith on Sunday night and slapping Chris Rock, like that to me is like the biggest Twitter moment in the history of that website or the app. So we're talking about biggest top five like moments in Twitter history. And you could actually do what could have been the biggest Twitter moments. You brought up the Bronco chase. Mike North chimed in on Twitter by saying the 89 earthquake.
Sure.
This is a great email from John in New Bedford, watching every day on NESN. He's on paternity leave with his daughter. Watches with him every single day. Congratulations, by the way, John. That's great. If Twitter was around for Malice at the Palace, it would have been top three ever. The alternate camera angles from people that were there, accounts of what happened, etc.
Yes.
I couldn't stop watching. I was on the phone with my mom that night, and I said, I got to call you back. I don't know what the hell's going on right now. And I'm not kidding.
Bill Walt was on the game.
He was on the game.
I was in a sports book. I'm walking by at dinner. I go, what the hell's going on?
I was completely obsessed the whole weekend. I watched nothing but ESPN News.
Yeah.
I actually had, we had like a meetup to talk about with friends here in town. Like, okay, we got to break this down. It was so incredible to watch on TV.
Oh, there were so many layers to it. Are they going to stop serving alcohol at sporting events?
Huh?
What's the suspension going to be? What happened? Oh, it was crazy.
How long
crazy.
Are we talking? I
remember the best line. They're in the locker room after the game. Ron Artest. You think we're going to get in trouble? Wait, you punched a fan. The whole thing was his fault. He's sitting there on a scorer's table, and someone threw a drink at him, and he charges. It's like slap shot. They go into the stands after the guy, and he starts punching people. If Jermaine O'Neal, if he connects, he comes in.
He comes sliding in.
He gets a running start. Fan doesn't see him. Small guy. He's going to unload on him. He slipped on something.
And he still got him.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
But he wasn't clean.
I think that...
If he hits him with all his force...
Of any part of Malice at the Palace that I've watched more than any other, it was that part right there. O'Neal, when he comes and he slides in...
Well, there's fans on the court at that point.
If he connects at full power with that dude, I mean, he's 6'11". I don't know. He probably weighs 280 pounds. With the torque that he had on that punch... What is his suspension? Because they would actually act on how bad the fan is hurt.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
That's a great suggestion.
Wow.
That's absolutely top of the list if it existed.
God, that was something. Jackson in the crowd. Artest is in the crowd. The fans are on the court.
And then when they're walking underneath the locker
debris.
Room, just dumping beers left and right on them.
Good response.
Yep.
Bin Laden. A guy said he's right any election. That's right, any election. Forget about 2016. Fail Mary, Boston Marathon bomber, how that played out on Twitter.
I think the end of the Seahawks-Patriots Super Bowl.
That was another. We had the Butler interception.
Incredible moment.
Manti Te'o, the Tiger Woods stuff, Thanksgiving and winning the Masters.
I brought up Tebow to Demaryius Thomas because I was actually live on Twitter at that time, and I thought the thing was going to break. I thought Twitter was done.
VSiN, the sports betting network.
Wendy's breakfast, the real deal. Had it yesterday, the official breakfast of the madness. It lived up to the hype. The breakfast potatoes, the breakfast baconator, croissant combos. They're bringing the breakfast legends. Don't forget the oven-baked sizzling bacon, fresh cracked eggs. Don't forget about the OJ. Make a fast break to your nearest Wendy's drive-thru. Pick up your Wendy's breakfast, the official breakfast of March Madness. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's. Get the French fries. Dunk them in the Frosty, too, for all you Midwest people.
There you go. Perfect recommendation, no doubt. I like this tweet from Matthew on Twitter. He wants us to go head-to-head picking baseball throughout the season. One pick every day. If Paul wins, I buy you fast food lunch every day for X amount of time.
Yeah.
If I win, you have to go skydiving. You want to do it?
No. Think of something else.
Top five Twitter moments of all time.
We're not talking futures. I mean, come on. You'll eviscerate me.
Oh, no. He said one every day. So, we're obviously talking about the top five Twitter moments of all time because of Will Smith and Chris Rock. This email from Derek. The Laramie Tunsil weed mask during the draft.
Yes.
As the draft is going on and players are getting picked.
Right.
That was... I don't even know what to say about that.
What do you call it? Bong gas mask?
A bong gas mask, I believe,
right. And then they also released, hey, coach, I need some more money. Like about the, I need help with the Bills. That came out too. Same time, yeah. Oh, that was good. Good tweet. Forgot about that one.
Well, I will say that you know what? That's sabotage job by the people who did that. That's dirty pool.
Yes.
Totally dirty pool. You can't do that. What are you doing? That's awful. On draft night? Hey, look what I've been hanging on to specifically for this evening.
Biggest moment of his life.
Horrible.
Oh, you had the Will Smith self-sabotage. What he did.
Yeah. So, believe it or not, as we're sitting here, and we've talked about, you know, quarterbacks and the offseason moves in the NFL quite a bit over the last month or so, and a lot of speculation, like what's going to happen with Baker Mayfield? Where is he going to go? What about Jimmy Garoppolo? It seems like we're down to two teams with Carolina and San Francisco. And then, you know, reports came out like last week from people in the Bay Area suggesting that Garoppolo's shoulder is bad and teams are not going to make that gamble until we know that he can throw football again. So that is now, fast forward to like yesterday, and here's the result of that. John Lynch getting asked about releasing Jimmy Garoppolo.
I don't foresee that. He's too good a player, you know, so I don't foresee that. And, you know, I think Jimmy will be playing for us. So he'll be playing for someone else. He's too good a player not to be.
So now too good of a player?
Well, just to flat out cut him, yeah. I mean, you think you get something for him, but also the timeline here with the surgery complicates things. And as Lombardi's line is, the quarterback carousel or musical chair, someone's not going to have a chair.
Well, I think that's what it boils down to is that.
Yeah, teams had to wait and they weren't concerned. I don't know. And you also have people who follow that team saying Trey Lance isn't ready. They may have to run it back.
Sure. The market dried up. They're not getting any phone calls, no whispers, anything about that, about a deal. So they're like, okay, well, we can't do this. And then, no, by the way, you know, that's going to be a great prop. Like, if Trey Lance wins the starting quarterback competition, and let's assume for a second that he does in August, you can put up a prop, when's Jimmy Garoppolo going to be the starter? Week 4? Week 5? Week 6? Right? And by the way, I think there's a chance that Lance can have moments in the preseason and look spectacular. Remember, people bought that last year on a broken play, like found Debo all the way down to the right side. It was wide open. Like, things were happening. Where you're thinking, okay, this guy looks really good, but it's as a reason, you know, defenses were breaking on that kind of a deal. So, and there's also this, we kicked this around earlier today in Peter King's column that he writes on a weekly basis, the idea of NFL changing the overtime rules in the postseason. There's two different ones that teams are kicking around. The Colts and the Eagles submitted one, allow both teams an opportunity to possess the ball in overtime. The Titans allow both teams an opportunity to possess the ball in overtime unless the team with the first possession scores a touchdown and a successful two-point try. You don't have to try the two-point try. From what I understand, you can kick the extra point and then allow the second team to get it as well and come back down. Well, guess what coach in the NFL is like, screw it, we don't need to change it. I like the sudden death rules. It's Mike Tomlin. Here he is talking about his love for the NFL's current overtime rules.
To be quite honest with you, I'm a sudden death advocate.
Like old school.
I'm a traditionalist. I don't fear sudden death, and I never have. But obviously, I lost that battle a decade ago. But my position remains unchanged. I just think 60 minutes, everybody has had a fair opportunity to win the game. And so, you know, when you're talking about changes as it pertains to competitive fairness, I speak to the first 60 minutes that we all had to win the game.
I wonder what he's going to be saying when the Steelers play their first overtime game and it's scoreless. Oh, they're tied at 3-3 because Trubisky is 6 of 22 for 19 yards and 3 INTs.
Big year for Mitch.
And the defense is holding him in the game.
There's momentum to change this, and they know they have to change it, but how are they going to do it and go about it is the tough call, and do they have enough votes? And this, as I said earlier, it could be too many cooks in the kitchen here about you want to go with what the Titans want to do or what the Eagles and Colts proposed. But I'll tell you what, it would have been changed already if the Chiefs would have gotten the field and beat Cincinnati.
I agree.
It would have been back-to-back games, going to the Super Bowl like that. Mm-hmm. So it didn't work out there. But again, it was on a 9-1 run where the team that won the toss won the game and playoff games.
Emails coming in right now. If Twitter existed, miracle on ice.
Yeah. Well, that was nuts because it was tape delayed everything.
Oh, absolutely.
Crazy. Yeah.
And how about this one? Kind of same thing because it was not in this country. It was halfway across the world when Buster Douglas knocked out Mike Tyson.
Oh, excellent. Yes.
You had to wait like the next day to find out what happened on SportsCenter, I think. Breaking news, Mike Tyson got knocked out. Wait, what? No, that can't happen. He was like 1 to 40.
Yeah. We got to get him in studio. God, we got to talk to him again. He didn't care. He was, what was I say? He had a lot of girlfriends.
He was reckless.
He wasn't training. And no way this guy's going to beat me. And that was, the other day, it was an incredible fight. He knocked him down too.
No, he did.
And then, I thought there were shenanigans with the call, with the count. But he's okay. Looking for his mouthpiece.
Oh, yeah, he was out.
He knocked Douglas out. There was a bad count. But, And then Vaccaro was the only guy who put the lineup on the day.
That was it. They made a 30 for 30 of it.
Yeah. Dave Malinsky had Buster Douglas.
Oh, he did?
Did you know that? Yep.
Did he tell
small
us that?
Small piece. Oxford Bob did.
Oh, wait. Did he tell us?
A small piece on Buster Douglas.
Who told us that when they saw Douglas take a No, it was that was the Douglas Holyfield fight. When I saw Douglas took the shirt off, they're like, oh my God.
Everyone ran.
Run.
They ran to the book. Vaccaro can tell that story.
Yep.
Bert Sugar told us that. Every guy in that room ran out of there and went to make a bet.
Yep.
When he took his we had the weigh in.
As soon as he took the shirt off.
Oh yeah.
And there's also this from last night. We mentioned this earlier today as well. Brian Windhorst with the latest straw poll for the MVP vote. And this is with people who have votes. Joker is the new favorite, according to that straw poll. Players in the top 10 in points per game, rebounds per game, and assists per game in a single season. Wilt, Elgin Baylor, the Big O, Russell Westbrook, and right now, Nikola Jokic. That's it. Five players ever have done that.
Embiid's too high. I don't get it. $220 at DraftKings, $2 at BetRivers. Too high. Too high. What this guy's doing every night. They're not a talented group. Because of the injuries.
They're not.
But it comes down to how you look at the seeding and how this is. The last seven games will be very important, too. At least, a lot of people are saying, I'm not voting for the guy if they are in the playing rounds, referring to Jokic. And then what happens with Philly? Are they the four? Are they the five?
Mm-hmm.
Embiid was great Sunday against the Suns in the loss. But.
Do you agree with this? I was going back and forth with Jeff Sherman from the Westgate yesterday. He said if Embiid doesn't win it this year, he never will. I tend to agree with that.
Because of missed games and...
Yeah. By the way, like how much talent there is in the league.
Yeah.
And every year there's a new 22-year-old who could just take over and be incredible.
We also had a discussion, too, about Barnes. I don't think this is over. He's low as 4-1 now to win the Rookie of the Year. I think he's got a shot.
You think so?
Yes.
Because I talked to two people last night who said, no, it's over with.
I don't care about the bookmakers here. I want to talk to the
guys. No, I talked to other people, too.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah, guys who I respect.
All right, the guys who cover the league and guys who have votes, I think there's a shot.
Like, look at this now. DraftKings 3-1 right now on Barnes. And you know what happened last night? In case you missed it, Mobley actually got banged up. It did not look good at first. It appeared as if he couldn't even put any weight on his ankle or his leg. And then a little bit later on, he was walking around. Von Tobel's one of them. Our buddy does a show here, The Edge. Great on the NBA. He said it's too late. Listening to people talk, what he's meant to the Cavaliers' success so far this year, and it's not enough to catch up. They need to really go back. The people who have a say in this, we need to go back. Like, I don't know if it's like markets too or what, but you need to really take in the full season. You can't tell me who the MVP is in February.
I have to. That goes for any sport.
Of course it does.
Yes.
These games count.
Yeah.
Now, Tatum's not going to win the MVP, and I was advocating for him for a while, and I got him at 500-1 multiple times, and suddenly I was going to scoop $100,000 on him if he wins the award. but he admitted yesterday that he's not going to win it.
Yeah. The defensive player of the year markets, that's been astonishing the last month. Smart was 100-1 3 weeks ago. Now he's 2-1.
Yeah, think about that.
And then you come on and run down your numbers with Jackson, and they bombard that. People hit that all over, and that goes from 500 down to 6-5.
I still don't get his number.
He's like the fifth or sixth choice.
Yeah, what we're betting today with In Pocket coming up next.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, if, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
To determine the winner of any given college basketball game.
Someone gives you 10,000 to 1 on anything. You take it. Take it. Take it.
I bet you 20 bucks I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I'll give you 3 to 1 odds.
Nope.
5 to 1.
Nope.
10 to 1. You're up.
All right, here we go. In-pocket plays from a few weeks back. Duke 14 to 1 to win the national title. Have them on a couple different tickets this year. And I also have a bunch of their players to win the most outstanding player. So I'm rooting for Duke big time against North Carolina. I'm going to be a huge Duke fan this weekend.
All right, there you go.
How about Matt Youmans earlier today on the show? Was planning a trip to New Orleans to go to the Final Four. Has several tickets on Duke between 10 and 12 to 1 to win it. Can't do it.
Yeah.
Can't do it?
I'm telling you, there's a lot of... There's a big segment of the country that's going to be like, oh, God, these guys... I mean, I know it's a sexy matchup. Duke, Carolina, never met before, but there's a lot of people like us.
Well, I mean, if that's a good game, let's say that game's 88-85. Yeah. It's going to be one of the highest-rated Final Four games in a long, long time. Matt asked us, most hyped Final Fours that we can remember. He brought up 91 when UNLV played Duke again, and they just beat it by 30 points the previous year, and they were undefeated.
Fab Five was huge.
It was a great one. Fab Five was gigantic.
Yes.
Because think about 93. When North Carolina beat Michigan on the Chris Webber timeout, Michigan beat Kentucky. And Kentucky was loaded to the gills with Jamal Mashburn.
Is that the semifinal game?
That was the semifinal
timeout was
game.
Was the semifinal game?
No, that was the title game.
That was
the
title game. Okay,
Michigan beat Kentucky in overtime to get there. And I think Indiana was the two. So 3-1s and a two. And then 2008 was the only time we've ever had four number ones. And actually, the Final Four was terrible. Memphis destroyed UCLA. Blowout. And that's when Billy Packer did the North Carolina, this game's over, against Kansas. And then Kansas had to come back from behind. The title game was awesome, but the Final Four was terrible.
I still love that. Nance gave him a mulligan. Is it?
Yeah.
Yes.
It is, yep. I bet Kansas -4 against Villanova, anticipating this number to go up. I'm probably going to get involved with the under as well. It makes too much sense. 133 currently the number. And then tonight, NBA Pistons plus 14 against the Nets.
All right, have a lean here. Bad pick yesterday as the Kings were running at home. They just played them and beat them, and they got the playoff push here. They had the under 1.5 buzzer beaters, and one seed to win the title, no minus 130, comes down to Kansas, and the loser with the Kings. I'd like Texas A&M tonight.
Okay.
NIT semis, they've won 9 of 10. And the loss was in the SEC title game to Tennessee. I'm still surprised they didn't get in. What was considered to be a very good league. They won 20-plus games, and then they were hot to go all the way. In route to getting to the SEC title game, they beat Florida, Auburn, and Arkansas. They ran out Arkansas.
Yeah.
And they still didn't get in. But they're laying 1.5 tonight against Washington State. They're 26-12. I like them tonight. And the other game is, how about the Bonnies? Now, this is shoulda, woulda, coulda, but this is a weird season they've had. They were preseason top 25. Then they had some issue, COVID, and some bad losses, and then fell apart in the middle. But they were still on the bubble. And then in the A-10 tournament, they lost. The kid missed 2 free throws with 1 second left.
Oh, yeah.
Down 1. Then they were fouled on the previous possession, and they bricked those free throws.
That's right.
I think it was to St. Louis. Any event, they're 23-9. They've won 8 of 10. They went on the road to Colorado, Oklahoma, and Virginia and won all 3 to get to the semis. And they're laying 1.5 tonight. I think they're worth a look, too. But okay. I think A&M makes a lot of sense. In Pocket, presented by Bet Rivers. As always, they do a great job. Your hometown book. Check out their daily specials. Posted afternoon Eastern at BetRivers.com. Over 300 different ways to bet the NHL every game. And it's a good NHL card tonight.
Okay, so this is from Randy watching on Sportsnet up in Saskatchewan. Good morning, everybody up there. Boys, I don't think the voters in the USA watch Scotty Barnes enough. I see him every game.
Okay.
Fantastic player and is definitely going to be a finalist for the MVP. He could very well win it. I think the last sentence means he could win the Rookie of the Year this year. 3-1 right now.
Yeah. I think he's got a shot. Anything in hockey? Anything jump out to you? This Boston-Toronto game. I mean, it's... This could be a ton of goals tonight.
No, I'm not betting the NHL as of right now.
4 wins in a row for Boston. That's a good game. Calgary takes on Colorado again.
I'd love to watch that game tonight.
Right, and most of these divisions are decided. We still have a lot of time, though. And you have the Pittsburgh Rangers game. I mean, they just played Friday. Now, the first game was 1-0 Pittsburgh, and Igor stood on his head. And then Friday they met in the Garden, and they came out on fire, blitzed them, blitzkrieg. 3 goals in the first 5 minutes, never looked back. So this will be, should be Igor tonight after Georgie have played the other night. But I think I could see goals in this one too. And then who knows, Pittsburgh's coming off an 11-2 win.
Yeah.
That's another one.
Right. I'll be honest. I will take tips from people who are good on hockey to bet it right now. But I'm so wrapped up in, well, not really the Final Four because there's only 2 games. So there's only so much you can think about it. But the NBA, I think it's absolutely fascinating the way this is going to close over the final 2 weeks of the season.
Yep.
But then also right. Getting in some preseason baseball bets. I spent a lot of time on that over the last couple of days,
mm-hmm.
Seeing what I could get down on.
The guys will tweet that out later. Incredible breakdown by Vaskursian on some props. Great job. These trends and streaks have come to a halt, too, in NHL. All of a sudden, the Devils can't get a goal in the first 10.
How many games in a row now?
I think it's 2 or 3. Jets played a couple unders in the third period. It's all falling apart now, Mitch. All falling apart. How about this tweet?
What about the Maple Leafs in the third?
Yeah, that was 33-3 run. I'll look at that one.
Okay.
They got to play that tonight, too. 220 juice probably over 1.5. Notable tight end guarantees. 2022-2023. Andrews, Goddard, Kittle, Smith, Henry, Waller. Top 5, Taysom Hill, $20 million. He's going to try tight end now. Focus his attention on tight end.
That's whose decision? That probably has to be the Saints because he can't play quarterback.
Oh, what happened there? Like everything Sean Payton said, they're like, okay, sure, sounds good.
I can't. I mean,
give him another extension. Give him another extension.
You know what? There needs to be like a national story done on that.
Yes,
like
right.
What exactly happened here?
Oh my God!
Why get Sean Payton on the record? He probably would never do it. But what, Sean? Tell us what you saw in practice. Why did you decide to make this guy? I mean, every single day it's like, hey, there's a new contract for Taysom Hill. oh, we're going to rip up the old one. Here's a new one again.
Well, and taking Drew Brees off the field
yeah.
to put this guy in with the gadget plays. He started 9 games at quarterback the last 2 seasons. He signed a contract featuring a number of incentives tied to the quarterback position. But word in New Orleans this month has been that he's not a consideration at the position at all. He's focused on tight end. Hayton out. Everything's changed now with Taysom Hill.
Hey, I got news for you.
Yeah.
Give me one guess how old you think Taysom Hill is. Hasn't been in the league that long, right?
I'll say 32.
Oh, you're very close. 31.
God.
Because he went to BYU.
Yes, that's right.
Probably did the, you know, those missions and then came out of college when he was older than your typical like prospect. And now 31 years old already, and you want to give him that much money and now convert him to tight end? Oh, man. I would not like that recipe. Because if you're Dennis Allen, you just have to eat it.
Oh, yeah, what's he going to do?
Right?
Yeah, right.
Hey, thanks, Sean.
I know.
Appreciate it, buddy.
Yep.
Now I got to come up with ideas on how to use him?
Uh-huh.
Boy.
That's a weird one.
Yep.
Can we get to August? Did you see? I saw Frank Reich said, oh, Matt Ryan can play. Oh, when you watch the tape. Oh, Matt Ryan.
Doing much better.
Like, here we go.
Are you changing your tune now?
No, of course not. I won 4 games a couple years ago.
No, no, no. I'm not talking about Matt Ryan. I'm saying on what you thought about Carson Wentz when you said Carson Wentz is better than Matt Ryan.
I don't think there's a big difference. Wentz certainly stinks. But I I'm with you on Wentz. But you have a different opinion on Matt Ryan.
Well, I just, again, to clarify, like, I certainly do not love Matt Ryan, but I think Carson Wentz is a disaster waiting to happen. So I would absolutely rank Matt Ryan ahead of Carson Wentz and a better move for the Colts this year.
I'm interested to see what this looks like. Several teams, though.
Oh, for sure.
AFC, and that's right.
And then,
supporting cast.
When are we going to get draft props here in Las Vegas? I look at these books all the time across the country in other spots, and they got a lot of them. And I don't see many in Las Vegas.
I know. We're getting close. It's April Friday.
A couple of books have first pick overall up. That's it. I don't see any draft positions. I don't see any top five. I don't see any, you know, first quarterback taken, any of that stuff.
What do you think? 2 weeks out? They're going to wait that long?
Well, it's here in Las Vegas.
I know. You got to go big. You should go big.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not saying accept 5 dimes on something. Have a small, do a small limits. Fine if you don't want to get beat up, but put something up. It's right here. Right?
My guess is going to be a lot of books. Well, some books. I think Circle will be about 2 weeks out, probably. I think most books will do like week of.
Yeah. Well, they all, a lot of them say the same thing. It's all sharp money and it's not worth the time. And
they get killed. So.
Yeah. They lose on it. Yeah. I know.
All right. Good show today. Thanks a lot for the feedback on top 5 Twitter moments since that app has been around, based on, again, the Oscars on Sunday night. I think Malice at the Palace, if it would have been around, would have been like the biggest one.
What a fiasco.
Yep.
Oh, you think we're going to get in trouble? Our test.
All right, that's it for us. Good luck with your bets tonight. We'll see you tomorrow at 7 Eastern. Adios.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
It's brand new season 2. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf at Adam. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to brand new on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.